This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
First on the agenda, I'd like to welcome the county planner, Jim Waller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I gave Kristen some information yesterday, just kind of regarding two petition processes. The first information was on the water and sewer district, and then a sewer improvement district. So, Commissioner Shelley asked that I come up and give you guys an update. When we first started this and started having some discussions about a year ago, I was pretty honest about when you start going down this process, it's an endeavor. Richardson Park, I asked Bonnie Rogers to see if she could come. She's come with a couple of people to support it. They have to do this project. They have to be the ones to petition it. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff that comes into play as far as what's needed, meaning statutes. So what I gave to you guys is basically the breakdown of a special district versus a sewer improvement district, or an improvement service district. So the special district needs 25% of the landowners with 25% of the valuation for the area that they're looking at, and that would be like water and sewer. If you get into the process, there's maps, and you can follow the kind of what they have for the formation and what's needed. There's supposed to be a legal map. You got to have the 3 to 4 people that are initially going to pursue the petition with all the residents. Once they collect all the signatures, there's timelines of doing this. It has to happen within 6 months from the first signature to the last signature to when it's given to the county clerk. You have to go do an analysis to make sure that they're all, quote, verified. They don't have to be electors, but they have to be proven to own the property or connected to that property via power of attorneys or things like that. They have to have all the information as far as where they live. Once that comes in, they have to have the map and all the details on this pinned in as far as what's going on. Then there's a verification of the person who goes around and circulates it. So if we have, you know, 3 to 4 people, then they have to go verify that they did, in fact, do this collectively against the whole area. The county assessor has to evaluate and make sure that they're all matching the percentages of ownership to the percentage of valuation. Then the commissioners, before they can take action, and this happens in about 10 days by statute, the county clerk has to verify that the names are true and correct, and she coordinates that with the Secretary of State. So I actually got all this from the Secretary of State's office. Once that's completed, then the commissioners would proceed with a public hearing process. That public hearing process is pretty much the same for both special district versus a service improvement district. The difference is the number of qualified people, 25% versus 60%. Very limited with the special district. You're only pursuing that one item or the two items that are allowed, and there's a list, you know, fire districts, a special district, rural health care is a special district. Service improvement gives them the wide range to tackle, you know, everything that they want to do. You can do garbage collection under service improvement, for example. When I asked the 3 to come, it's because they're going to have basically a collection of people that are willing to do this and can check through everything that they need. So we obviously need a map. We need some costs. The sponsors of and the person signing the petition, we have to make sure it's consistent with the state law, which I just want to run through the county attorney's office. What their purpose, you know, everything that's on here, it's pretty cut and dry. When I spoke to the assistant deputy in the Secretary of State's office on elections, he said this is just an example of what you would need for how they would fill in and say, you know, or name where we're at in the area of what we have. Also listing the location of where they live. Again, the biggest issue is first signature to last signature can't be more than 6 months apart. So once you start that process, there is a portion of the statute that says, you know, how the costs are going to be generated to cover everything, because the commissioners would have to advertise and have a public notice. The county clerk has to have recordings that take place for the permanent record. Those actions have to be forwarded down to Secretary of State for their actions, plus Department of Revenue. And through the whole thing, they have to identify the costs of the project and then how they're going to come up with the money to cover that project. Obviously, mill levies, grants. Once you're a district, you know, then the idea of being able to solicit grants or loans or things like that becomes easier. So that's where this sits. It's a ton. This has been a lot of research. When I met with Mr. Shelley, I basically reviewed the statutes, and the best of what I can understand as far as what we would need to have those residents do to be able to go to the county commissioners. If everything checks out and you're at the commissioners in a public hearing, there's all kinds of things that the public can do to bring a case of lack of due process. You know, they didn't receive a notice. There's a way that that's handled in statute. There's also a method for if landowners say they oppose and they don't want to be in. It doesn't kill the project. They could adjust and see if they want to exclude that person, exclude that property. Ultimately, again, you're looking at the 25% valuation. Once they're excluded, though, if it still proceeds forward, boy, coming in, that's an awful big process to come back in on a project like that. So I spoke with the Northwest Rural Water District, which is a water district between Cody, Powell, Franny, Deaver, Cowley, and from Lovell all the way to Cody in the rural areas. There are spots where every year they're bringing in property through this process, because as they ran those rural water lines, people were like, I don't want my property. Then as their wells went dry, they had to pay for a process to come into the district to get the water taps or whatever they needed. I think when you look at Richardson Park, you have to think of it as a neighborhood. I don't know if you want to go down a rabbit hole of guiding the citizens to, you know, exclude this guy but include everything else in the long run when we're talking city-sized lots up there. Most of the lots, well, every single lot in the subdivision, I thought I had the plat, but it's 50 by 142 feet, and each block has 12 lots. So the people that own 1 acre own all 6 lots on one half of the block. Half acre is 3 lots, and so forth. So when we think about the size, I think talking to DEQ, no, the county's responsibility is to ensure health, safety, and welfare of all the citizens. So as these leach fields fail, DEQ told me to get load tickets for the waste as it's hauled out to the landfill, period. That's $6,000 to $8,000 when we have to remediate and remove those leach fields. But again, it's hazardous waste, and they put a period. The county has to ensure that that's getting dealt with and handled appropriately. These are the things that I've known for a long time, and the county's responsible for enforcing water quality. So if those lots have the area to thin that material out, let it dry and meet what it takes to treat that sewer or the solid, that's one thing, but they don't have the area, not with creating a health issue to the neighbors. There's a lot of properties up there that don't have the well setbacks to the leach fields. As they have to be replaced, it's 100 foot. If we can't meet 100 foot and they can only replace 25% of their leach field, might want to conserve water. Those are the hard questions and things that the county will be faced if people start saying, I can't do something. If they have buildings that have encroached into the leach fields 10 feet from a building, if that building covers part of their leach field, we can't waver on the health part, is what DEQ has said, period. And the county has to basically follow the process. And so if we have leach fields where they need, let's say, 800 square foot of area and they only have 400 square foot of area, the record would show that they only have, you know, a 30% leach field or a 40% leach field. That could have the consequences on how things are looked at. And that's why this is really important. Everybody wants to be able to flush their toilet, turn their faucets on without creating a mess. Typically, a single-family house will fill up a 1,000-gallon tank in about 7 days. The pumpers then would have to be responsible for taking that to the city's disposal area as a licensed operator and discharge it. That's kind of where we're at. So I know it's doom and gloom, but knock on wood. Everything is still hunky-dory, and most people are really understanding and cognizant of what's going on up there because everybody's, for the most part, knowing what they've got. I did have some alarm bells come up when some people called me and they didn't know they had leach fields and they live in Richardson Park. They didn't know they had to pump their tanks. So I've really talked to DEQ about making sure people know their wells and know your septic systems. And so some of the guidance that I've been able to share with people as they're moving into Johnson County is, you know, if you're living on a small lot or small acreage, know what's going on, because if you want to build a shop or something, it needs properly planned. So anyway, questions?
We're talking about 95 houses or so right up there?
Yeah.
So it's not just a couple of
I think we have 98 total buildings, and there's probably two or three that are just shop buildings. Nobody's living in them. They might have a bathroom or something like that, but then I think it is about 95, 96 houses total. So.
And you have people that are ready to step up and do some of this?
I think so. I think we still would have to have them decide what they want to do and then start going through and trying to figure out how to answer all these questions on these petition forms and then making sure we have everything answered as far as what the county attorney would give for guidance and then send them on the way to start getting signatures if that's what's needed. Again, you could still have 35% of the people in the area could stop the project and that through the public hearing. So I don't know if the commissioners have ever received an actual petition other than like the fire district or the senior district for something like this. They had discussions 10 years ago about doing some stuff on Airport Road, but I don't believe anybody ever solicited signatures. Even up there, I don't think we ever had anybody going around giving signatures. Just talk. So you never know what would happen as people start wanting to look long term. And I think that's the key issue is Richardson Park first was recorded in the courthouse in 1955. It's not new, and the growth and development really occurred after 1995. So
Jim, if I could ask a question. We did have a community meeting at the high school, and I think that was pretty well attended. And then there was about five or six of the neighborhood people that went out and kind of, you know, asked all the neighbors that we could reach, are you for this or do you have any concerns? And I believe that just about everybody, I don't even think there was one person that said, no, I'm not concerned about my septic. I'm not interested in moving forward. So we did that, but you also sent out some cards to people. What were the results of the
About 60% of the respondents that came back said they were in favor of having water and sewer, because that was what the questions were focused on. Again, the water well, you know, water's one of those things. If you don't have the area in your backyard, then your well can be placed in a lot of different places if you have to drill a new well. The leach fields take area, and they have to protect that well, plus your neighbor's well. Plus, if you have two wells on the property, now you have two spots to protect. So it's really that area that trying to look at first. I think when people have called me, the biggest fear is, what do you do in the situations where there's some hesitancy on annexation. And I think that this is where you have to have these real questions about the service territory area around Buffalo and where water and sewer actually are, and what those services are in the long run, so we're properly planning, because there's a lot of stuff in the county, and the city has water and sewer everywhere, and it's in the county. So I think those are where this is a great place to talk with the council and the commissioners. It's a complicated issue, and the only way we can solve it is with all of you and an understanding of navigating funding and what's necessary for the citizens of Johnson County to really thrive. And I think this is a time of looking at growth and what could happen, what should happen. I've had talks about where the Baptist church is up the hill with some of those landowners that own that open land between Richardson Park and here. They've actually called because they're just curious about what they can do with their property in the county and subdivisions and where that sits and where services are. You know, the electrical, will WIDOT allow connections into some of those properties? So I know people are looking at growth around Buffalo, and I think it should be real as far as when those discussions come up and things like water and sewer.
Any input or comments from the homeowners out there?
Well, for me, and when I talk to people getting signatures and stuff, I kind of approach that like, you need to protect your own investment here. Like, I have a half acre, I think, is where I'm at. But everybody around, there's some right on that first street, they're sharing septics, And then we talked about that the way that lays up there, like if somebody has a septic problem above me, that's going to flow into us too. But my question being, and I had them ask me this, and I didn't know for sure, but if we form our own district, then do we become under the city covenants, or do we, how does that work, I guess, is what I'm saying.
So, I'm assuming, are you a special district or a special improvement district? Because it'll be two different sections of the state statute. But my understanding, Mr. Waller, you're going to have to help me here, in terms of interactions with the city, and if it's just for sewer, that'll get down to your water connectors agreement, your sewer. So you're still going to be in the county. You are not annexed to the city. You aren't going to be subject to their mills or their ordinances. But if there are any stipulations in terms of how you use those connections, that's going to be between the district, whether it's a special district or a service district that are delivering those services.
So, like if my neighbor wants to keep a horse up there, or already has a horse, they can still do that?
Yeah, this is going to only apply to the service that's being provided. So in this case, whether it's sewer, or if you guys elect to go ahead and add water as well, it would be just sewer and water, and that's where your district, whichever type you would create, that's the interaction they're going to have with the city of Buffalo, which is going to be providing that district with the service of wastewater treatment, or water and wastewater treatment.
So, Jim, what is the best, what's our best choice there to the kind of district?
Well, if you do if you follow through with the petition process to create a sewer district, then you're talking with the city on, in terms of how to have a sewer main tap, basically, that allows you guys to collect, have your construction project, to build your sewer lines, and then you're basically going to pay the city of Buffalo whatever the agreed on rate is for the city to handle your waste. And in the county, if I'm not mistaken, there is a process and a rate of how that applies for the county services. So if you like want water in the county, they sell you the water at a cost. And like if you were doing this for Richardson Park, you distribute the water throughout Richardson Park, there's a cost. And then the sewer comes back in to the city, there's a cost. That's where your district comes into play. Some of these get a little bit complicated because if you're creating yourself as a district, you have to have your own management. That's where the board is elected by the people in the district. And then the board has to make sure they hire the reputable and correct type of operator to ensure the system is working. And the city does that with the Public Works Department. So there are ways that I've seen in Wyoming where the districts will contract with the city for that service, and that's part of recapturing that cost. That's why the water, you know, if you want water in the county, I don't know what it is. It's not the same rate as the city rate. The tap is higher, and then the cost for the water is more. So, but it's simplicity, sewer and water. More complicated, service improvement, but that also gives that bigger arm for other services. Roads, garbage collections, things like that. In the long run, I think it's a coordinated effort between growth of the city and what services are actually needed in the long term. Again, this, in my mind, this should have been an annexation a long, long time ago, to be honest with you. We shouldn't be talking in 2024 about 50 by 140 foot lots in the county with houses and wells and septics.
You know, I'm going to push back on that. I'm not that question about water and sewer. I am going to push back on the annexation because it's not contiguous. In the old days of flagpole, annexation had been outlawed, so I guess
the vet's home's annexed, and it's right across from the vet's home. But that's why I was like,
But the vet's home was annexed using flagpole. They went down the highway, pulled the vet's home in,
and they should have. That's when you look and you think in the 30, 40 years ago they should have had a discussion.
Just to be so that the record is clear that there's not a push to annex.
No.
It would be up to the landowners if they wanted to be annexed.
Yep.
Okay.
And I think if they run and look at the services, like water or sewer, that's where those long-term agreements can get put in place of what's appropriate for when an annexation does occur. Because it really, annexations should be logical. I was asked yesterday, when's the city going to annex Loves? And Loves is not adjacent to the city. And it needs to be a logical annexation so that you're doing exactly what Mr. Chairman's Novotny is mentioning. You don't have a highway road annexation, which is not legal today, and then you take in a property. And so you got to take in the area and coordinate with everybody for what's needed. Logical.
So go ahead, Madam Clerk.
Well, I was just... thinking of the mechanics of this, if they started with a special district that just requires 25% of the landowners, and they do just sewer, and as this works out, and I think it's, so say they decide now they need an improvement in service district, then you start all over, right? I mean, they could still have this one, but you can't just morph from one into the other. You have to get the signatures, you go before the commissioners.
Yeah, because that's the due process with the citizens.
Yeah, okay.
They gave me the documentation for formation, the documentation for dissolution, the document for adding additional things. And I think if you were to look at the one document on changing and adding, that's where that margin of error increases, and you have to go for the bigger people so they could have one service, and then it, you know, 40 years from now, it become a service improvement district or something different.
And just for clarification, you can have a horse in town. You just can't have hogs or roosters.
But
My neighbor has a hog in my
yard.
Right. Madam Clerk, though, you do presently have some county residents that are on city sewer, is that correct?
Yes.
If I remember from our discussions on Hilltop Drive. Yep. So this is not a new precedent to provide sewer outside of the city limits.
Did they have to form a district?
These folks did individual, they own their line.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I guess my question is on this, if the district puts it in and the district is responsible for the maintenance and the upkeep and owns the line, and that would be a future benefit to annexation, because then that line would become part of the city during the annexation process. But until then, they're responsible for upkeep and maintenance, aren't they?
Yeah, like right now, our closest thing in the county that we have that follows this is the shores of Lake DeSmit and their common water and their common sewer. That cost is spread through all the landowners out there. They have the water treatment, and then they have to have an operator. And that operator then has to be up to DEQ standards, plus the state engineer's office for public water, no different than the city. Right now, it's an engineer out of Sheridan, so it'd be really similar. I think that's probably the best case is when you start thinking about sewer out in the county and how it is and whether or not it was under a district. So we don't have any districts right now. Shores of Lake DeSmit is operating under a Articles of Incorporation for an HOA that manages and then contracts to the engineering companies.
So I guess, Jim, my question follow on with that, because we do have the Crazy Woman Watershed Improvement District, and it's a water project, it's a reservoir, and some ditches, so I'm assuming this is going to be administered similarly. That's actually administered by the Conservation District. So the Conservation District ensures that they have their annual election, that they establish their budget. The budget is then given to the county treasurer, who applies the appropriate levy to each of the property owners for whatever their portion is in that improvement district. Is that how you would see this administered, or is this going to have to be done different oversight?
It's kind of a little different oversight.
Okay.
But very similar. So you got district, and then you got the conservation district that's being kind of the administrator.
So it would be entirely on them to administer, just as the board of the rural healthcare district administers the ambulance service.
Yep. And so they'd be subject to the same public auditing and everything that rural healthcare definitely has to do. I think there is an option where they create a district and it's a blanket and it's administered by the city. That's a little bit more complicated. It is allowed under the statute. I can't find anywhere in Wyoming that that's being done. So I think the easiest is, in short, once they have a petition that comes to the board, and the board goes through the process, if it goes into the yay, we're going to create the district, then the clerk has to follow through with her portion of the statute and get the appropriate people elected. At that point in time, I think that's where they have to have their game plan laid out as far as how do they do it. The big question I have is, it's county residents, and so as they do this, there are costs that are going to come up. And the statute allows the county to actually, I don't think the city does, I think it's the county. I think the county can cover the costs, but they have to be reimbursed. So two examples I was able to research were all sewer service improvement, but the county paid for those costs, and then once they milled them, they levied themselves, then the county was repaid back for those costs, and that was hearings, some of the legwork. I think in some cases it was only about $5,000 to $6,000, but there are some costs. A map is a big question, because we could say, here's the subdivision, but I think they have to have an actual surveyor that goes in there and puts his stamp on it that says, this is our district area. that's a cost that, you know, someone's going to have to come up with. Surveyors are not cheap, so. But I think that would be the best way, is just like the rural health care. They become responsible. They can be sued and sue, so they'd have to have legal counsel just like all the other districts to protect and then follow through all our public auditing. They can do a mail-in ballot too. I did verify that was added in the statutes. We do not have to hold an election with election equipment. The clerk can do the election through mail-in ballot. So, that's another cost.
Speaking of cost, there's probably no idea to know what this thing would cost in today's dollar.
For like putting in all the field lines? Yeah, I talked to Nelson and we discussed the idea of what it would take to get the sewer brought up there, and that was one cost. And Brent said, look at that lineal distance and then figure out your lineal distance. And your manhole spacings are all the same. The manholes have to be spaced out exactly, you know, 300 feet or whatever it is. I think you're in the ballpark. I think we're talking a million plus just for the sewer. You know,
that's the sewer to all the houses.
Yeah, at least.
It's like 800, I think, for us, for our part to get it up to that line that we've talked about.
Yeah, it's about 2,700 feet, I think, or something like that.
But it's going to change as time
keeps going. Yeah.
Then the second one is, how do we make sure we never get in this predicament again?
Have those real conversations when subdivision development comes up, but I think one of the things is Wyoming has created several statutes since the 1950s that didn't even exist that are in place today. DEQ would never allow that kind of a subdivision without a water sewer solution identified in the permitting process for subdivision permitting. And so I think that's where we have to have the real discussions. The county is working through updating our comprehensive plan, and I've identified that as something that I want to make sure that we make sure is foolproof, because I don't think it's a good idea to have that density show up without proper services, even in the realm. And if somebody doesn't have the ability to connect to stuff, man, that affects the land value. And we got to make sure that that's out there, because right now we're getting surrounded in that 1 mile buffer by really, really expensive land.
So there's some protections for the future.
I think so.
In statute.
I think it's much better. I think Bill and I talked about that too.
I think, Mr. Mayor, the other thing is that we've updated our subdivision regulations in a way that Richardson Park would never be approved. That's why you saw the situation with the number of houses that wanted to be put in that by the airport that would have required it to be on city sewer and water because of the density and the soil type. And so you just, it won't.
Add on that, the county never had success in terms of what they submitted to the county to have that evidence and proof that the council and the mayor would sign off and allow water and sewer connections. So that never occurred, so that's why that subdivision never went forward. I don't think anybody came in and presented anything for agreements or anything with the council. So until that happens, it will never go past the commissioners.
Shouldn't.
Try to take a little longer.
Any other final thoughts or questions?
Well, I think most people in that subdivision now realize that they're looking at the future. They have to protect the health and safety of their families and people that want to move in the area, and they also have to protect their land values. And a couple of properties that have been for sale there, I called the listing realtor and said, what are the issues with not selling that property? And they immediately say the sewer. And so that information is public and is really detrimental to the value, you know, keeping the value of our property. So, but mainly it's the health and safety and the convenience of having water. You know, you don't have to go to the laundromat, and you can. And the families that are moving and growing up in that area, I'm concerned about their safety, their health.
Would another public hearing with you guys bringing everybody in help? Would you guys like to have another one?
I think it might.
If we knew ahead of time, like us that went around from house, we went from house to house, divided up the neighborhood and went from house to house, we would be willing to do that again to make sure that we could get, you know, and we already know the ones that said no. Hell no, I'm not doing that, you know. But you know, we need to tell them, like you said, Jim, like, you know, what's your chances of this happening later on? But most of the ones that I talked to were more worried about that they couldn't live the way they had been living up there. And I'm sure you guys have run into that before, too. That's kind of where. But we would be willing to do that. You know, we pulled together five or six people to do that. And it made the community, our community, more aware about, hey, you need to think about your future and your property value. But if we, did you say we had 60%?
Based on the response of questions of, you know, should water or should sewer services be provided up there? Yeah, it was about 60% came in and said, yeah, they were in favor of it. There's a lot of people that are opposed to it, and we have to recognize the people that are opposed to it. But I think in just when you're talking sewer, honestly, that's why, you know, what's the biggest issue? I don't think the sewer would be that large of a controversial topic. I think if you threw out there service improvement, and that might be the knee-jerk one because of how expensive things can get, and we're in a time where people don't want more taxes. But unfortunately, with our leadership, we're very aware of what it takes to run and offer the things and how it comes. And so there's this dynamic of there is a cost. I did spend a little bit of time talking to Steve Sponda about just that taxation portion and then how you generate and what it would take. And he and I were looking at some of the other districts to try and get a feel for how the services are provided. And again, it's kind of like what the city would do. You know, you're bonding something or you're loaning against something or you're borrowing and getting grants. And once the district is created, that gives them that leverage to do that. And that's the key thing, I think. Without the district, Hilltop Drive, they pay for their own sewer. You know, Turkey Lane, their own sewer.
Yeah. Mike, and you, as the council and commissioners, have more experience with this, but if we form that district, is there grants that we really can get, or it's a matter of writing and applying for them, or how does that work?
Well, you'll have access to grants, low interest loans. You know, there's Water Development Commission within the state. There's the Safe Water Revolving Fund. There's a lot of different.
There is
avenues.
Money out there to.
There is, but...
But what?
It's always been the fun part of putting the application together. And that usually always involves, there's some engineering that has to be done. So there are costs, and I think those are some of those costs that Jim was talking about, that there is a potential that the planning office could potentially cover some of those on the front end and then fold them in. It would get paid back to the county over the life, whether it was through the assessment or...
Would the county be willing to help us like that if we had everything in order?
I can remember when that 20... About 10 years ago, when we went up and said, hey, we'd like to help you guys get sewer and water, and it got shut down real fast. So we are very interested in trying to help you in any way we can.
Okay. I think a lot of people up there are on single incomes, and they're concerned about, okay, how much is this going to cost me? And the bottom line, and if we, you know, could kind of have a plan. Like, I lived over in Cody when they put that line in out of the South Fork. And as I remember correctly, they charged a fee for hookup or for the tap. And then you could pay, like, for your water, but an additional $100 a month or something like this until it got paid. It wasn't like an upfront. You had to come up with a large amount of money. So I think there's ways that we can, it could be handled that would encourage people to look at it. Something they could work with. I think a lot of more people would be interested. Just saying, oh, it's going to cost you $30,000 puts a lot of people, like, you know, away.
Well, that's what we consider. Is like if you did form a district and it increased your taxes maybe, I don't know, $200, $300 a year or something, sure seems more doable than if I had to replace my septic tomorrow at being $20,000 and I needed to come out. I needed to walk up with the cash. So, you know, not many people have that.
And if we could get that point across in another meeting, I think would be good.
We'll do one.
We'll, I'll get with the commissioners and we'll figure it out. One thing, Commissioner Motley, I think too is that once the cost is generated and they're moving forward, the service of like what Buffalo would say it costs to handle whatever's going on, that's decided by the council. And so that's that tap fee or whatever you have to pay each month. So like in town, you know, you pay a sewer cost and you pay that water cost. That's what you would always have for the reoccurring cost each month. And then the debt for the management of the district is on the tax, mill levy. So the carrying that out over 20 years or whatever it takes, that's where that cost on your taxes is controlled. But ultimately, if the city says, you know, for example, each month the water fee is, you know, if there's water, each month you're in the county and you pay $65 for that water, that's going to be what the water cost is each month. If the sewer cost is half of it, then it'd be, you know, $40 or whatever. That would be the reoccurring cost every month.
Well, let's ask the clerk right there exactly what it is so we don't speculate.
So water for county, if you're outside the city limits, it's $79.50 a month. And you get, let's see, 10,000 gallons. So if you go over that, then there's overage charges. Sewer is the same inside as outside, and it's $20.60 a month. Now, a tap fee is, for water, it's $5,000 outside of city limits. Sewer is $2,500.
And maybe Julie explain what the tap fee pays for and how that's part of the enterprise fund, so it's very clear where that money goes.
So the tap fee is, that's your hookup. That hooks you to, and then you'll also have some costs for your service line that goes into your house. So I think when you're talking those big numbers, $1 million, whatever, that is just to get the whole piping through, you know, in the streets, all that. But then there will be, into your house, you'll have some piping costs. I don't have any idea what that is.
And to clarify, originally when we had that first meeting, was that the city was willing just to come up to that one corner on First Street there, or
the city and county? That's what we had discussed. that we would jointly bring that line up
to that
to that property edge.
And then we would be responsible.
And then that's where the district would take over from.
That's when the district would take over.
I think as you visit with your neighbors, the one other point is when it was mentioned, you know, paying, breaking up the payments, you know, rather than being faced with, I need a new septic tank right now. There is a risk for some that they won't be permitted to have another one. And as Jim was talking, then you're putting in holding tanks and you're pumping it every week to get rid of the waste. So, and I don't know how many of them there are, but there are some that are at risk of not, you won't issue another permit.
Yeah, we just don't have, we don't have the lot area. Yeah. There's a handful of lots out there that are 8,000 square feet.
Jim, originally, I mean, you were trying to say that night to everybody, but I think there was some people that just thought, oh my God, to do this, you know what I mean?
Because I think the county and I think
that's why we would like to buffer that and go door to door first before we had a meeting.
I will do my best to work with the commissioners in all aspects to serve the citizens and try to meet what we can. But there is a point where we can't, and that's my fear of getting to that point where it's like not possible, you know. And I don't like those situations because then it puts a lot of pressure on the commissioners with dealing with the citizens and how they live in the county.
And
there's a difference.
DEQ will not allow it.
No, they're I'm graciously able, just like the Public Works Department, to work with DEQ as best as we can and have a good relationship. They understand that in the end of the day, it's about making sure the citizens are healthy and safe.
So what are the prospects of putting water, city water up there?
Well, I'm sorry, what was it?
The prospects of city water.
I think the short answer to that is that it's whether or not the residents, when you decide what kind of district you want, if you want to do water or sewer. Because I think the city is more than willing to provide both those services. It's going to be up to you as the property owner out there to decide which service you want to bring in, if you want to do it all at once or just go septic.
Okay. I myself would like to see both.
I think it's... There's a little dirt and digs a few trenches. You think it's good to put both pipes in at the same time?
I'm not sure what the regulations on water and sewer in the same trench or not, but if you can put both in the same trench, and I think that you can. I think there's an elevation thing there, but I think that it would save you a lot of money if you put them both in at the same time.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are more concerned about the water because, like my own well, it's tested okay. I mean, there's no problem with it, but it's got minerals and it doesn't really taste. So I have my own filter system on it, but it would be really nice. And one of the questions, and you may not be able to answer this, but say we've all got our own well and stuff, could we use that for irrigation?
Yeah, it's a permitted well.
Yep.
Okay.
Julie, do you want to go over what is under the connectors agreement, what you can and can't use city water for outside of city limits?
So if you're outside of city limits, it can't be used for livestock, for irrigation. It's just for household. And then you can't, we don't want a cross connection, you know, where you still use your well, you know, for something inside the house. If once you're on city water, it can just be, you know, like the school, they have a well they wanted to irrigate with, or they used to irrigate with that. And so they have both of them connected, and you can't cross connect those.
Okay.
That's dangerous. But that way, right?
Keeping them separate,
yeah.
You could use it for your irrigation.
Yes.
Your
feeding your livestock.
And your pigs and your roosters.
Yeah.
Your pigs and your roosters.
The one thing that, that I hope everybody stays focused on is the sewer line. I mean, that's where our health and wellness comes in. You know, I don't want to have something come up and because we're some want to do water, some want to do sewer, and now we're not going to do it because I'm not getting the water line. So let's focus really on our health and safety. The water line does make sense to bring in, but I would hate to see the whole project
get flattened because of that.
Yes.
Okay.
There is a spot, just build on that really quick, there's a spot in Wyoming where they did water and sewer, and it took about 20 years to get both the services. But they created the district as both. And then what they did is they handled the health issues as they needed to, so they put the sewer lines in and the water lines in, and cumulatively, project here, and then they went to this project, so it wasn't a massive, huge undertaking. And when you look at the whole area, it was about 20 years. There's a lot of stuff up there, it's a lot of miles. It's 80 acres when you look at what Richardson Park is sitting at, and so that's really half a mile long and a quarter mile deep. And then all the roads run east and west, or the roads run north and south, east and west with alleys. So you could, in essence, create both a water and sewer district and address what you need to address as you're moving forward with the project.
And once again, we're at the point where, I mean, really the best thing for us to do is form a district, right?
I think it's worth mentioning too that the city is in a good position with the water or wastewater treatment plant. I say new because we're just about to pay the loans off, but and the expansion of the water treatment plant, that we have capacity to treat the sewer and to produce water. You know, there's no fear there that we don't have enough.
Thanks, Jim. Sorry that took so long. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
Councilman Knapp, please come forward and share your Bummer Mountain update.
So I'm here today representing JOCO with a proposal to sell Meadow Mountain Wool Building to Meadow Mountain Wool. Before we start, I'd like to give you a little idea of where we are, what the proposal is, and if Ben has any comments, and then after he's done, we will take any questions or comments that you would have. Currently, Meadow Mountain Wool leases the building from JOCO for $9,223 a month. Comes out to around $110,000 a year. Between insurance and property tax, that's about $20,000 that we pay out of the rent money. This year we spent $18,000 on part of the roof. We have some sewer issues that we shared and dealt with. Probably come in around $2,000. So it's an older building. We do repairs for a lot of that stuff. And that was one of the discussions we had on maybe making a proposal for Meadow Mountain Wool to purchase the building. So the proposal that we move forward that Meadow Mountain Wool Board approved to bring to you folks is $875,000 and 7.5% interest for 20 years. That payment becomes $7,049 a month, roughly about a little under $85,000 a year. We have some things in place that we'd like to have the county's attorneys look at and approve it in the sense of inspections, early payment, some other things that we're not up to date on and don't really know how to make it move forward. So in that saying, we think it's a good deal to move forward. It's a long-term plan. It's a way for Meadow Mountain Wool to get it. It's also a way for us to recoup some money, plus to get rid of some of the liabilities of the building moving forward. That amount will have been in it a long time. I believe it's a good fit for them to continue to be there. And saying it's not a make it or break it thing, I'm sure if you folks don't move forward with it or don't think it's a good fit, I'm sure we will continue to lease it to them until future notice or something changes. But that's where we are. Like Ben, to have if he has any comments or anything that he would like to add.
That was kind of a good summary. Thank you. Just trying to find a way to, in the history for the, you know, the council of men and women on the board and commissioners, the economic development plan with the state when that building was brought in, with the joint effort between JOCO First and Mount Meadow Wool, there was no final plan or transition plan. And so the state, I think they regret it nowadays. You know, the current projects all have a transition plan at some point. So we are stuck at the same one town like Richardson Park. It wasn't the foresight 20, 30 years ago to say what's the long-term plan. So we have to come up with that transition plan at this point. So that's our goal of what that looks like.
I would entertain any comments or questions that we can answer.
You said the terms. Who's the lender? I'm not a loop here.
What was that?
Who's giving the money to sell this?
Barn Mount would sell the building to Meadow Mount Lowell for $875,000 at 7.5% interest for 20 years. In the end, it would come around to be about $1.7 million.
So JOCO is carrying the note?
We would be carrying the note. I would assume we'd be carrying the note as part of the county because I believe that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that was technically a county building. Really? That's why we're coming here.
I don't know the history of that. Wes, do you remember?
Man, that was like
forever ago.
I was in high school. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what you're 93.
I don't know for sure either. That's just.
That, Ben, do you know?
Well, it was.
What year that building?
2007 is when we had the application with the state, so the state provided the grant in 2007.
But that original organization was formed in the.
But that
building was the URA building.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That was way older than 2007.
And the city applied for the grant funding to get the building.
So maybe it's, yeah.
So my question, though, and I don't know how. I just want to be careful with the selling property. I mean, do we have to do a bid process on this? I know the city would have to sell any property, but I know maybe economic development, there's different rules there. I just want to make sure we're doing it the right way so that we don't.
I didn't bring it with me, but there is a state statute for sale of property for economic development. Fall under the pass with JOCO First was being an economic development project, but that would have to be very clearly that this is for economic development. That's where it falls into that state statute to be a direct sale.
It seems like that came up in the past, really, that because of economic development, where if it was like you said, if it was a city selling it to a business, you would have to go through the whole process of a bid.
Because I know even
unless
with
it
our,
was government to government transfer.
Right, and I know with the business part. The way we were able to list those was that first we went out for RFP for somebody to be the listing agent for the purpose of economic development. That's what those lots would be sold for. So,
and I did bring that up, and that's why we were hoping that rather than go through the hoops and the expense of a realtor and vetting and options like that if this was approved, maybe we could take advantage of one of the attorneys to put something together.
I guess as mayor, I'd like to have city legal involved in the conversation just to make sure we don't get dead.
Sure.
Tom, if you don't mind me asking, how was the purchase progress agreed upon?
I'm sorry?
The purchase price, how was that agreed upon?
We took those numbers from the market analysis that We had a realtor come in and try to move it before, and that number came from those, and I want to say that was 2019, 18. And we've asked around, and that's everywhere. I mean, trying to get a square footage cost or that, I mean, it's you can pick a number, yeah.
It was what it was listed for when they put it, when it was put up, and it was, I think the appraised value was $825,000. One question that came up the other day with Senator Barry Credo, he asked about long-term financing, if it was held with JOCO first, carrying a note. You know, so for us, when Tom brought the idea, like maybe JOCO first would carry the note for us, it gave us a huge opportunity because we can't get that far down beyond our conventional loan. The question being, though, if JOCO first does not continue with economic development, who carries that note long-term? Would it go to the county? And that creates some complicated issues, whether the county would carry it long-term. Senator Crago, he was reaching out to the business council to see if they had a different loan program that this might fall into to try to get it out of a county finance project long-term to see if we could just make it a little clearer transition. So that's something on the table right now, is figuring out if there's another way to finance it without having to have the county, if JOCO first was able to carry that no longer.
Yeah, that would be one of my concerns because, I mean, just recently JOCO has talked about dissolving, and so now you're talking about entering into
it. We haven't got any response from the letter.
But the letter was put out there.
You got verbal response.
Okay.
So, yeah, you got a response.
That would be my only concern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I understand this.
We're lined up differently.
How doable this would be, but
looks more like you're going to have to go back into economic development in order to.
But technically, right now, they still are economic development.
Well,
nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed yet, but the discussion we had verbally was that this group wanted us to move more towards building management.
But this transaction might happen while you're still economic development.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Any questions for the good councilman from KC?
Thank you.
Totally.
And this is still out. I mean, we're way down the road, so this is a step forward. So
I'm glad something's moving forward.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, we're running up against the shut off time because folks have to get to work. And we've got a meeting. There's a handout. The Wyoming legislature and the governor is beginning steps for Wyoming's part in the 250th anniversary of America. There's a front and back one pager. I don't have copies of this yet on the guidebook. I just have the draft. It hasn't been formally adopted. But they're asking each county in the state to form a committee, and if you were around for the bicentennial, some of us weren't born yet, they are asking for a continuation of some of the efforts that were done in the bicentennial anyway, so we can actually have a good discussion on this. I'll roll this to our January meeting, but get it on your radar. This is coming. This effort actually will kick off in 2025, which is why you're seeing this now on Statehood Day, and they are hoping that we will do community improvement projects that correspond with the 250th anniversary of America, which is why they're giving this amount of lead time so that you can do planning. There is going to be $10,000 available for a project in each county for this effort. So anyway, if you remember in the past from what I've been told, there was a requirement that all men in Johnson County had to grow beards, otherwise you had to have a special dispensation, and there was a story about there were some Caminos who might have thrown a United States Senator into a horse trailer and hosed him down because he didn't have a beard while wearing a very expensive vest that belong to the Buffalo Bill Cody Museum. So I don't know if anybody is related to any of those said mercenaries. So we are scheduled to meet again on the 21st. I will open it up to public comment first, and then we'll go around the room. Any public comment?
I appreciate you guys letting me come in and talk. I'm sorry that it took a lot longer.
There are no public comment. Commissioner Shelley.
I believe you're going to be in Cheyenne, and I'm going to be out of town on the 21st.
Well, we'll figure something out. Commissioner, or Councilman-elect Askins.
No, not anything. Thank you. Nothing further.
On his way out.
Yeah. Yes, enjoy.
John, thank you for your 4 years of service.
Thank you.
You've been a great voice.
Appreciate it. It's been good working with you guys. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
I don't have anything other than to thank Councilman Camino and Commissioner Perry for always, Commissioner Perry's always lovely input. But it's been an honor working with you. We wish you the best in your next endeavors. So. Thank
you. Madam Clerk?
No.
Over here, nothing from
you. Nothing.
I thought we'd have some parting wisdom or shots.
No.
You're going to save those for later. All right. Well, like Jerry, I'm going to hand you, I have four publications for you on some work that the National Association of Counties have done on affordable housing. So I'm going to pass these on to you. Kristen, anything from you?
No, sir, I don't have anything.
Okay.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.